Turn, if you would, to John 5. Appreciate the opportunity to come. We appreciate the invitation. We've been praying for, since the time of this knowledge, to be prepared of what God would have me to say. And so that's what I will do. John chapter 5. I want to read verse 37 through verse 43. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not my honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. My text will be verse 40. You will not come to me that you might have life. Down through the years, I've witnessed to people about Jesus and the salvation which is available through him. I have shared Bible verse after Bible verse expressing the reason why we need the Savior and what Jesus Christ, our Savior, has done in our behalf and how it can be that we can be forgiven of our sin and have a home in heaven. And in my discussions, I've tried to be logical and have offered sound reasoning, yet the fact remains very few have responded to the gospel plea. I have preached the gospel from the pulpits of two different churches spanning a combined 38 years, but have seen little response by the lost who were in attendance. Oh, I have been blessed to see some saved, but there have been more who have exited lost than have been saved. Remarkable, isn't it? You would think that a sinner hearing about his plight and that his eternal destiny is hell would have a great concern about his condition. You would think that upon hearing the good news of the gospel, the unsaved would gladly make further inquiry and pursue the truth, all in the hopes of securing eternal life, but it isn't so. The vast majority of lost people remain hardened in their sin, callous toward their future prospect of the eternal flame, and they are stubborn in their cause. I'm amazed at those who attend the services week after week who know that they are sinners, lost and damned to a devil's hell, who have heard the gospel repeatedly, but have failed to respond. I think of myself to myself that why won't they repent and believe? Why would they risk death before salvation? Yes, I marvel at those who need Jesus, but who refuse to believe on him and trust in him. Well, may I say, those to whom Jesus ministered were no different. And our text tells us of those who have an interest in spiritual matters, but have not repented and believed. Jesus tells them point blank, "You will not come to me that you might have life." They choose not to come. I have found that many like to talk about man's free will and the supreme choice of man, but fail to recognize that, as a preacher once said, free will, free won't. Dear lost sinner, why won't you turn to him? Why won't you believe on him? In the final analysis, the truth is, you will not come. You will not come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing your word with your people here and for this, those who've gathered. And we pray for any lost in our midst tonight that you would speak to their heart, convict them of their sin, grant repentance and faith that they would be saved even today. Lord, we know you're the Savior, and we pray that you would move. And Father, we thank you for the salvation we do have in Christ Jesus, and thank you for cleansing us and washing us in the blood. Thank you for allowing us to be a member of one of your churches, and Lord, we can gather here tonight. We pray that you bless this church and bless this week and bless all that's said and done. Thank you for the singing, and thank you for the praying. Thank you for the fellowship and all that's going to take place this week. Thank you for what you're going to do. But Lord, we ask that at this time tonight that you would bless your word again and work it in every heart according to your will. Meet every need. You've laid it on my heart to share, and that's what we'll do. We pray that your will be accomplished and you would be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Well, the title of my message is, You Will Not Come. John chapter 5, verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, the first thing I want to bring to your attention about this text is the subject is life. It's what he talks about in the text. It talks about life. Now, he's not talking about physical life because everyone standing there before him were already breathing. They were alive, just as you are alive tonight. So he wasn't speaking about physical life, nor was he speaking about immortality. I mean, there are those who want to live forever in this body. And, well, I don't mind living forever in this body when God makes me in the image of his son. But in this situation, as I stand as a saved sinner in this flesh, I don't want to live forever. Once I'm changed, that's a difference. But there are those who seek the fountain of youth, and there are those who seek the idea that they want to live forever in this life. They're afraid to die. Jesus wasn't talking about physical life, and he wasn't talking about immortality. Rather, he's talking about eternal life. And when he speaks about eternal life, that's in opposition to eternal death. And, well, the Bible has a lot to say about eternal life and about everlasting life. And what I've chosen to do is just offer you a few of the verses that speak about that very subject matter. Talking about life, the very life that Jesus is speaking about within the text. You will not come to me that you might have life. You won't have eternal life. You won't have everlasting life. So permit me to share a few of these verses with you. John 10, 28 says, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Romans 6, 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John 2, 25, And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. 1 John 5, 11, And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5, 13, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And 1 John 5, 20, And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was John 3:16. You knew that, didn't you? John 3:36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 6:40, And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Amen. You kind of get the idea that Jesus was interested in everlasting life, eternal life for people who pass through this world.
Amen.
And Jesus speaks to this crowd right here and he talks about life. Let me summarize it in this capacity, four things very briefly. Number one, the discussion is a spiritual discussion. He's talking about eternal life, spiritual life. Again, not physical life, not immortality, but a spiritual life that exists forever, eternal, everlasting life. Number two, this life is a relationship with God. When Adam and Eve was created in the garden, they had fellowship with God. When they sinned, their fellowship was broken, their relationship was broken. God restores that relationship. We as sinners, as we've come down as descendants from Adam and Eve, are born dead in trespasses and sins, and we are out of relationship with God. But God has made it possible that whereby that relationship can be restored. And that's the great thing. We can commune with God, and that is everlasting life. That's eternal life. And when you're truly saved, you have eternal life, and your relationship with God is restored, and you'll have that fellowship forever.
Amen.
What a joy that is. It's a spiritual discussion, and it's a relationship. And of course, we would think of it this way. Number three, it speaks of heaven. We ask people, when you die, do you want to go to heaven? Well, everybody I've ever encountered said that they wanted to go to heaven. There's only one individual that said he wanted to go to hell and party down, but he didn't have any clear understanding of what he was talking about. Anybody with any sense at all doesn't want to go to hell. So if you pose that question to just about every person, you're going to get a response, I want to go to heaven. But what does that mean? Well, it's eternal life is what it is. It's everlasting life. And, well, there's description of heaven at some degree in the Scripture. But I believe it more to be the fact that Jesus gives us eternal life and we'll have communion with Him.
Amen.
And then, of course, I want to make it very clear, number four, this life that Jesus speaks about to these people, what we find in our text in John chapter 5, is that it is eternal. I think it was abundant. I emphasize that to a great degree. He says that you know, will not come to me that you might have life. You will not come to me that you might have eternal life. That's what he's saying. And the last thing I submit unto you when we think about this subject being life itself is that there's obviously a need for spiritual life. Because he offers unto them that you might have life, which means that they don't have life. And so that means that they're in need of life. You might be here tonight and not have life. I'm talking about eternal life. That's a great need in your heart. I point you to Jesus that you might be saved. Well, that's what we're going to do with the rest of the service. But what we think about here in this text in verse 40, the first thing is the subject of life. The second thing is many do not possess it. And you might be one here tonight that does not possess eternal life. He says that ye might have life. So you might be here tonight without Jesus Christ. You do not possess eternal life. And by that, and when I look into the Scriptures, I find that, well, that being the case, then you do not believe in Jesus. Look at verse 38. What did he say before our verses? He says, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. And so if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have life. And, well, it's because you do not believe in Jesus. It's what Jesus says within the text itself. As a matter of fact, he goes on at the end of the chapter where we have in verse 46 and verse 47, you also don't believe God's word. Yep. Verse 46, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? And so I know with absolute confidence on the authority of God's word, that those who do not have life are those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, and they do not believe God's word.
Amen.
If you want to go to a related passage, you can turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. If you so choose to look over there, and consider verse 10 through verse 12. Again, if you're lost, you don't believe God's word. You say, yes, I do. Well, I beg to differ with you. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. We noted this earlier, but look at it again. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Amen.
Notice the record that's involved there. If you do not believe God's record, you do not believe God, and you call God a liar. God gave in his record that Jesus Christ died that you could have eternal life. And so if you're not saved, if you don't have eternal life, then you don't believe God's word, do you? Go back to our passage. Actually, go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I submit unto you that if you're here tonight, there are things that apply to you out of the Scripture. And the fact that you do not believe on Christ and you do not have life. I mentioned that you do not believe in Jesus and that you do not believe God's word. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that you're spiritually dead in sins. I've already made reference to that a few moments ago. And so you're spiritually dead. The 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you also recognize that you're spiritually blinded. Understand that, dear lost sinner. You're dead in trespasses and sins, and you're spiritually blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The devil blinds the minds of those that are lost. Consider that, dear lost friend. You're in a very precarious position.
Amen.
You don't possess eternal life, do you? Well, let me continue with this description. Romans 6:17 tells us that you're a servant of sin. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 3, it says that you're children of wrath. Another place you may turn, Hebrews chapter 2. Not only are you a servant of sin and a child of wrath, but you're held in bondage. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that he through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." To bondage. Go back, if you would, to the book of John and go to the third chapter. I simply tell you that Jesus is speaking about eternal life within the text. And he says that there are those that do not have that life. And there are those of you that are here tonight that do not have life. And so I've given you some biblical description that describes who you are. Well, one other place is John chapter 3, verse 19. I want to remind you that the scripture tells us that those who are without eternal life are lovers of darkness. John 3:19, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And as I stand in my pulpit in Bartlett, Tennessee, and I preach, and I know that there are people out in my congregation that are not saved, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I speak to them and declare unto them that this description that I've just given applies to every one of them. Everyone. And it applies to you if you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. It applies to those people within our passage there in John chapter 5 when Jesus is speaking to the Jews. And he says, "You will not come to me that you might have life." It applies to them, doesn't it? So the fact of the matter is, many do not possess eternal life. But let me pass on. Go back to John chapter 5. My third point is that life is possible through Christ. That's the good news. He says that ye might have life. Well, you're lost, but the good news is you can possess life.
Amen.
It's possible, but it's possible only through Jesus Christ. So he says, "And you will not come to me that ye might have life." So I say unequivocally tonight, you that are lost, you might have life. It's possible. You can be saved. You're not beyond the reach of God. But I submit unto you, as you look into our passage in John chapter 5, look at verse 39. You need to learn of him. He told those people there, "Search the scriptures. For in them ye think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." How important is that? We've already declared unto you about the necessity of understanding God's Word and believing God's Word. If you don't believe God's Word, you're not going to believe in Christ. He said, "Search the Scriptures." John chapter 5 is an account of when he's passing through by the Pool of Bethesda, if you recall the early part of the chapter, and he chooses to heal this guy that's been infirm for 38 years. And so he chooses to heal that guy. And by the way, he only healed that guy and that guy alone. And so he heals this guy, and Jesus tells him to pick up his bed and walk. So the guy picked up his bed and walked. The problem is that it was the Sabbath day. The Jews don't appreciate that too much because on the Sabbath, carrying the bed is moving, and that's breaking the commandment. You're not resting. And so they came down all force onto this guy saying, what are you doing carrying your bed? And he said, well, the guy that healed me told me to take up my bed and walk. And so that's what I'm doing. I like the guy was changed and then he followed Jesus. I mean, he responded, didn't he, to what Jesus told him to do. And so the Jews, they were upset. Saying, well, who is this guy? Well, I'm not really quite sure. But then Jesus encountered him and the Jews came out and confronted Jesus then when they found out it was Jesus that told them to get up and walk. And they said, well, you blaspheme because you told him to break the Sabbath day. And Jesus discusses that with them. And then he comes down a little bit later and he says, well, you know what? I do what my Father wants me to do. And they hated him for that all the more. So from verse 17 following, he's talking about who his Father is and his relationship with the Father and how important that is. And so what you're dealing with here are a bunch of Jews who are very familiar with the law. No doubt there are a host of scribes and Pharisees spattered throughout them and the Sadducees, all religious people, all understanding of the Word of God, believing the laws of Moses. And yet Jesus says, you need to search the Scriptures. They felt that they were okay, but well, with all their knowledge, they were coming up short. You know why? Because he still looks at them and says that you might have life. You don't have life. You need life. But I can give you life. I encourage you, my dear friend, if you're without Jesus Christ, you need to learn of him. Amen. You need to know who Jesus is, and you need to know why he came and what he accomplished in your behalf so that you might have eternal life. You need to learn of him. Go back to verse 24, John chapter 5. Not only do you need to learn of him, you need to hear him and believe in him. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Dear sinner, tonight, the only way you can have forgiveness of your sin is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, there's coupled with that the idea of repentance. You must repent and believe. And I say unto you, as clear as I can say, that deliverance is only found in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's not a bunch of roads leading to the same God. There's only one road that leads to God, and that's Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. And so I say on the authority of God's word, there's only one access to God in heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. You need to know that you're lost. You need to know that you're in bondage. You need to know that you're dead. You need to know that you have eternal death looming over you. But you need also to know that you can have life. But this life is in his Son. And so in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. And so Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5, he says, for there is one God, and there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for Jesus and what he has done. I'm glad he left heaven and came to earth. I'm glad that he lived his life the way he lived it, and I'm glad for his sacrifice and his death, burial, and resurrection, and he's alive right now, and one of these days he's coming back.
Amen.
You say, well, how do you know that? Because God's Word told me that, and I believe God's Word.
Amen.
As a Christian, I believe it, and you believe it too, don't you, if you're saved? If you're not saved, you don't believe it. We've already established that within the text. He says, if you believe my words, you believe on me. It's a problem there, isn't it? But I do say unto you very clearly within our text, he said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Dear sinner friend, tonight, turn to Jesus.
Amen.
He is offering for you to come to him. His statement to everyone standing in that crowd there, although they were condemning him, was an offer to them to come to him.
Amen.
To respond to him. The sad thing is, is that most will not come. And that's my fourth point. Most will not come. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I read over in the book of Matthew in chapter 7 that there's a broad way and the gates and the narrow way that leads unto life. And there are more on the road to destruction than there are on the narrow road going to heaven. So what that tells me is there are more people going to hell than there will be in heaven, which is God's sovereign choice. But the fact of the matter is, most people will not come when they hear the gospel. They won't. So when you look into our text, he tells them, and ye will not come to me. I just said a moment ago, if you're hearing your loss, that you need to turn to him.
Amen.
Yet you will not go. Isn't that a marvel? I mean, really, it's a head scratcher. I want to submit unto you that regarding salvation, Jesus offers. Number one, it's available.
Amen.
I'm glad that salvation is available. God didn't have to save us. God didn't have to send his son. When we sinned against him, he didn't have to do anything. He could have just said, well, you know what? That's your choice. That's what you've done. You brought it upon yourself. See ya. And I don't mean to be flippant about that. It's just the fact that salvation is available, but it didn't have to be.
Amen.
We deserve hell. We deserve judgment. We deserve wrath. That's what we deserve. But I'm so glad that he sent his son so that I might have eternal life. So it's available. Salvation is available. We can have a relationship restored with God and be at home with him in heaven forever. It is available. But secondly, it's accessible. You know, sometimes things are available, but it's not accessible. Yeah, you can buy certain things in the store, but they're not going to send it to you. It might be out of your price range. You might live in a district where they don't deliver. It's available, but it's not accessible. But I want you to know that salvation, eternal life that Jesus speaks of, is not only available, it's accessible. And so when he looks at these people and tells them, come to me, and you won't come to me, that's your big problem, but come to me. That means it's available and accessible. But I say unto you, number three, that this salvation which Jesus offers requires action. He says, you need to come to me. They're not coming to him. You're lost tonight because you will not come to Christ.
Amen.
You need to repent and believe. That's what God's commanded you to do.
Amen.
But this salvation which Jesus offers unto them is not only available and accessible, and it requires action. We find clearly in the text it's rejected. That's the sad part, isn't it? You will not come to me. Now let me ask you tonight, why won't you come? Why won't you come? Let's just think of it from a human perspective. Am I allowed to do that, Brother Jim?
Yes.
Why won't you come? Is it because you don't accept your depravity? By that I mean you don't believe that you're a sinner. You know, I've encountered a few people, not very many, but I've encountered a few people through my years of ministry that did not believe they were sinners. They couldn't admit the fact that they were sinners. They might have made mistakes, but they're not sinners. And they reject their depravity. They don't realize that they're lost and undone. They don't believe that they're dead. I've done nothing wrong. I haven't deserved anything. I've not done anything to deserve hell. Maybe that's your thought tonight. Maybe you say, well, I don't believe that I really deserve hell. I'm not that bad of a person. I've not done anything wrong. Therefore, there's really no need for me to go to Jesus. Maybe that's why it is that you will not come. It's possible that you don't believe that there's a future judgment. I've encountered my share of individuals like that too. They just say, well, there's no such thing as hell. Hell doesn't exist. Well, hell does exist. God said hell exists. And you just need to believe his word. But maybe you're saying, well, I don't need Christ because I don't believe there's any judgment. You know, the great mass of individuals in our society today have that perspective. They just don't think there's judgment out there. But there is. Perhaps you're not turning to Christ because you don't think He's the only way. Now, I've met my share of those individuals as well. All roads lead to the same God. They do not. And so these people say, well, I'll do it my way. Right? I can't remember the song. I want to save Frank Sinatra, whoever it was. I did it my way. Well, your way is wrong. I'll guarantee you that.
Amen.
It's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And those people that say, well, I don't need to come to Christ because I'm going to go my way, is just off base. There is no other way. Maybe you haven't come to Christ because you just don't have an inward desire to respond. And by that, you're just simply asking the question, well, why should I do that? There's just no drive in your heart to do so. Well, we pray that God would change that drive, would change your heart, put the desire in you to turn to Christ, because that's the only way you're going to turn to Him anyway. But you might be thinking, I don't trust in Christ because I just don't feel I need to. Don't have the desire. And maybe perhaps it's the idea that you don't come to Christ because you just don't wish to surrender your perceived authority. What do I mean by that? You ever had anybody tell you, it's my life, I'll do what I want? I'll do it my way. It's my life. And so this is what I've been taught all my life, that's what I'm going to be. That's what my parents taught me, that's what I believe. Despite what God says. And so maybe you aren't going to turn to Christ because you just said, well, it's mine to make the decision and I'm going to make my decision. Your call. It really is. It's your call. But you're making a wrong one. I'm telling you, Jesus is your only way. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, I'm not coming to Christ because I just really don't believe in God, or I don't believe God. You say, people don't do that. You know, they're all over the place. They do not believe God exists. And you might be one of them, even though you're sitting in church tonight. You're not going to come to Him because you don't believe there's anybody to go to and you don't have any reason to turn. You need to have a change of heart and a change of mind. You need to believe God's Word. You need to believe God. And you need to believe that God exists and that God is pure, just, holy, and godly, and He's the Savior. Problem is, most will not come. So let me offer you in closing. Jesus told the crowd, and He says, and you will not come to Me that you might have life. Sinners are in need of the Savior. Perhaps you're one tonight. You're lost. Can you admit that you're lost? Can you admit that you're dead? That you're away from God? Can you admit that you're a sinner? Sinners are in need of the Savior. And you that are under that category, I point you to Jesus.
Amen.
Because the gospel is good news. And the good news is that eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. I hope I've been clear enough about that tonight. He's the one that died for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He alone is the Savior. That is good news.
Amen.
There was a time that I was lost, and I was in need of eternal life. And He saved me, and He gave me eternal life. And it was all through Jesus Christ. So I say to you that are lost, that are in our midst tonight, that you can be saved. If you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll call upon His name, if you'll trust in Him, you can have eternal life.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is saying in the passage. He's saying, come unto Me. In fact, the words found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sadly, the fact is, you just won't do so. Therefore, the words of Jesus will echo in your ears. You will not come to Me that you might have life. You know, it just occurs to me. You ever have any revelations? It just occurs to me. I wonder, when lost people stand before God at the great white throne judgment, I just wonder, will they hear, "You will not come to me that you might have life"? Well, that's a possibility. That's just new, so I haven't really thought that out. You say, why would you speak this way? Because, well, I was told this was a revival. And in my prayers for these services this week, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, you start off a revival with evangelism. Speak to the lost. And so I spoke unto the lost. I'll hit the rest of you the rest of the week. But I do pray for those of you that are without Jesus Christ, that you would really truly see your need and repent and believe. Christ is the Savior. Turn to Him. Believe on Him. Trust Him. You'll be glad that you did.